Shastra seems to say that, you know, you're not Krishna conscious, you're wasting your life, you're like a dead body, and that, you know, everyone in society should be doing Krishna conscious, and yet at the same time, to go back to Godhead, it seems extremely difficult and rare, a rare occurrence. So how do we reconcile those two kind of visions?
Well, one thing is being, living like a human being, and then the other is perfecting the human form of life. Just because you're living like a human being doesn't mean that you've become a pure devotee. So being Krishna conscious means being a human being, basically. Nasteva, nasteva, there's no other religious formula in this age, because either they're too complicated, meaning they're Vedic, or they're not strong enough to withstand the influence of Kali Yuga, like the many other religious systems that you have, which is just instruments of Kali. So everyone has to. And Narada Muni says, gives the 21 qualities of a human being, and then he gives Navanga Bhakti. Everyone has to do that. Whether they perfect it or not, that's something else, but if they're doing it, then they're on the path to perfecting it. If they don't do it, then they'll just degrade. So that's the principle. People should all practice Krishna consciousness according to, and in the meantime they may be doing other things. They may be attached grihasthas, they may be detached grihasthas, they may be sannyasis, but everyone should chant and hear, and especially everyone should chant. And if they do that, then they will progress. And it may take one lifetime, may take multiple lifetimes. So just like people understood, or maybe even understand that, some people, that you should be religious. Similarly, why? Because religious people are good people. So religious means Krishna conscious. Something else? Nishta, bhajana kriya, it's anishta, it's unsteady. So sometimes one gets good results, sometimes the good results go because of external circumstances, sickness, especially desires come up, things are in the mind. So those are that's the nature. Nishta means that now it's steady, and it's developing, and it's increasing, and the activities are consistent, the words are consistent. Most difficult is consistency of controlling the mind. But that's what one is meant to strive after to achieve. So you have to continue from that Anishta Bhajana Kriya. If it's done with serious effort and carefully done with good guidance and association, then it becomes steady. And then when it becomes steady, then one actually starts to get a real taste. Because when it's not steady, you get taste and then you lose it. But when the taste is always there and it's increasing, then one becomes very inspired. One becomes very enthusiastic. Finally, I'm getting somewhere. And the result of that is that one then becomes attached to Krishna. And by that that attachment, one then things start to become very, when you're attached to something or someone, then everything starts to happen naturally or spontaneously. Or at least it isn't something that you have to do by force, even if it's not so spontaneous. And those are stages where Krishna consciousness becomes always steady and deeper. But they're not really fully substantial, or they're not really on the absolute platform until one really becomes free from the influence of the modes of nature. And if one transcends the modes of material nature, then those activities will all be of the same transcendental nature. Brahmarpanam brahmahaya brahmadno brahmanohutam brahmayavatena gantavya. So they'll all be also Brahman. Brahma karma shamadina. If it's really for Krishna's pleasure, then it's pure, and then it's all pure devotion. But if the taste, if the heart isn't pure, and the taste is, then the taste is mixed with other things. Satisfaction that we get some recognition and things like that. But it's real. It's real, but it's not mature. Just like a fruit, immature fruit. It's real, but it's not yet fully ripe. So those things are also real, not fully ripe, but they have their also unique taste that's different, and. The nature of spiritual life is that all the tastes remain. In other words, when you have an unripe fruit, then it has a certain type of taste. Like unripe mango is what you use to make mango pickle. and it has one taste. But when that mango ripens, then you can't make unripe mango pickle with it anymore, because it's already changed. But in Krishna consciousness, the taste of sadhana, bhakti, which has its own unique taste, remains even when one actually becomes perfect. It doesn't change. In fact, all the stages of sadhana bhakti, starting from the different parts of novelty, everything remains. They don't disappear. So every stage of Krishna consciousness is relishable, is tasteable and tasty, because they're all eternal. Because bhakti is eternal, and every stage of bhakti is eternal. Because bhakti is an eternal spiritual activity. The sadhana bhakti is eternal also.
You said the tastes are all eternal. Did you say that?
Yeah.
So when the siddhas like Haridas Thakur and Nityananda, when they go preaching, when they're in a type of ecstasy, that's just one of the varieties of spiritual tastes that they experience. I mean, that, well, Haridas Thakur is Jiva Shakti, so maybe a bit different. But is that what you're saying?
They're all there, and because it's an inconceivable potency, so how it takes place, but all the tastes are existing. They coexist. They don't disappear to give way to another. Hare Krishna.